From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Governor Gavin Newsom delivered his long-delayed State of the State address yesterday, but that wasn't the only major development in California politics in recent days. Over the weekend, it was announced that the governor and legislative leaders reached a budget deal to close an estimated $56 billion shortfall over the next 2 years. But that plan also includes some widespread cuts, ranging from housing programs to healthcare workforce development. And just last week, the California Supreme Court unanimously voted to keep a sweeping anti-tax measure off the November ballot. To help us break down these developments, we're joined now by Alexei Kosev, the Capitol reporter for the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters, which partners with the public media stations around the state. Hi, Alexei. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there. Good to be with you.
Let's start with the budget deal that was reached over the weekend. How exactly did the governor and lawmakers arrive at this agreement?
Well, it's been a long time coming. I mean, this budget process in California usually takes many, many months. It started all the way back in January when the governor put out his first, you know, idea for what he wanted to do. And there's been months of hearings and deliberations and negotiations that really kicked into high gear in May after we got a better picture of what the revenue, the tax revenue that was coming in looked like. And so, you know, we're a little bit past what the statutory deadline was supposed to be for having a deal, but we're finishing it just in time for the start of the fiscal year on July 1st.
Well, and the governor and the lawmakers had a big project closing a $56 billion shortfall. They are saying that California's core programs were protected. What exactly do they mean by that?
Well, and I would just emphasize that the number is actually even higher than that, but they took early budget action a couple months ago to try and, you know, get some of the quote-unquote easier stuff out of the way. So, yeah, I mean, this has been a huge undertaking, which is why it took so long. But you're right that what one of the things that was a really big priority for both Newsom and lawmakers was to protect some of these programs that offer either social safety net services or are kind of really directly impact people's lives, like education. You know, these things that are so visible to people, and when you cut, they have just a very, very direct impact. So, you know, despite some, you know, criticism, for example, the state is moving forward with its expansion of a program to offer healthcare access to all immigrants, all adults, regardless of their immigration status. This is something that, you know, the state has kind of led the nation in doing. It's been a point of pride to sort of say we take care of everybody. And so the state is sticking by that. It's sticking by, you know, its plans to, for example, raise supplemental income payments for older Californians, things like that. But as a result, right, you have to cut elsewhere. And so, you know, climate programs, housing programs, other things that, you know, maybe people don't feel as directly do take a hit.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, cutting programs, you know, some folks certainly are affected. Let's start with housing. I mean, you know, there's headlines every day about the shortage of affordable housing in California. Why do you think the state chose to cut there?
So, you know, we could go through the long and boring answer, but the quick version is that California's budget is really complicated because a lot of the funding is locked away in dedicated, you know, pots of money. I mean, the biggest one that people probably know about is education. But as a result, there's fewer areas where you have sort of leeway to add or cut money. And so there's fewer things that can, you know, take a hit when times are tough like right now. And, you know, when they've chosen to take these steps to protect these sort of welfare and social safety net programs, that only leaves a few things such as housing, you know, affordable housing funding as a place to take away money in turn.
When you looked at the budget agreement, were there any surprises to you? Anything that either was protected or cut that raised your eyebrows?
Well, I think, you know, maybe in a larger sense, I was surprised at how the legislature was maybe a little more successful than in past years at pushing back on the governor's plans. You know, Newsom has gotten his way in the budgets that I've covered of his so far in really exerting sort of his priorities over the budget. But, you know, some places that we saw the legislature pushing back this year was, for example, demanding bigger cuts out of the prison budget. in order to protect some of those social safety net programs. Newsom had proposed bigger cuts to some of those kind of welfare programs and smaller cuts to the prisons budget. So, you know, it's kind of that dynamic where these lawmakers can be a little more progressive sometimes and pushing forward those ideas. And they actually got some of what they wanted on that front.
Alexi, for some context, you know, California's budget just a year or two ago was doing really well with record surpluses. Remind our audience why the state's budget has such dramatic swings up and down from year to year.
So California is what we call a progressive tax structure. But what that means in reality is that we're most dependent on revenue from the highest income earners, the wealthiest Californians. We get a huge amount of tax revenue each year from, you know, the income taxes on basically the top, you know, 1% or so of Californians. And, you know, those people are very dependent on capital gains taxes, you know, and when the stock market does well, California does well. And when the stock market doesn't do as well, California doesn't do as well. And so we were riding high a couple years ago with the recovery from the pandemic. And then things took a bit of a turn south. And unfortunately, California was slow to realize that because we had these delayed tax returns last year from the winter storms. People had until October or November to return their taxes. And California promised all this money that it didn't end up getting. And so now we're in this situation where we're actually in sort of a structural deficit for at least the next few years.
You know, cutting programs is one way to go about this, but the state has also delayed or deferred some funding for programs. Talk about that as a strategy and which programs saw delays or deferrals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's actually one of several other sorts of solutions that the state is coming up with. I mean, I would also just note, you know, we're dipping into our reserves a little bit for the first time in some time. You know, there's actually some plans to do some temporary sort of suspensions of tax credits for businesses that will raise billions of dollars in additional revenue. So there's all kinds of creative solutions out there besides just cuts. But yeah, there's also, you know, delays for, you know, some of these previously promised programs to like expand food benefits for undocumented immigrants, to increase pay for providers who care for people who have developmental disabilities, you know, add new subsidized childcare slots. I mean, you know, these are a lot of things that would, you know, make a lot of people's lives better. And, you know, the state is still hoping to do that in the future, but it can't do it right now.
You mentioned taking money from the state's reserve. You know, we have a rainy day fund. Explain to us, is that the same thing as the reserve you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes,
I see that over $12 billion over the next 2 years is coming out of that reserve. I'm wondering, you know, make sure I have that number right, Alexi. But number two, how much is left once that money comes out?
So the state has been, you know, pretty responsible. And, you know, since it created that rainy day fund about a decade ago now, it has built up that fund through good budget times to more than $30 billion. So, you know, there is a good amount of money in there, but that's also not even enough to get us through, you know, as we said, 2 years of this structural deficit, right? So the state, while it is dipping into those reserves now, and I will acknowledge to some criticism from people who are pointing out that the economy isn't even in a recession right now. You know, this is sort of a self-inflicted budget deficit. But the state is trying to take some other steps more broadly to kind of, you know, put itself in a more stable situation going forward. There's been some talk of changing, for example, how the money that comes in from surpluses is then doled out in the future, you know, to set some of it aside and wait until the money actually comes in to then commit it to some sort of spending plan. So that, you know, if there's supposed to be a bill kind of coming forward in the last month of session this summer, and that could change sort of the process of the budget going forward even further and have people rethinking sort of how we, you know, expand spending essentially in the state.
I'm wondering, you know, lawmakers typically like it when there's money to spend.
Yeah,
do you think that's a proposal that's actually going to get support, socking away more money and not being able to fund certain programs?
You know, it's part of this budget deal, you know, so it's something that the leadership and Newsom have committed to. And obviously, you know, if it's just a bill, you can always reverse course in the future if, you know, if you don't like it. But I do think that everybody really recognizes that California has these serious fluctuations. The budget situation is so volatile year after year, and it's been especially volatile the last few years. And if we're not going to completely overhaul the tax structure in California, there are at least these other things we can do around the margin to stabilize things.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters Capital reporter Alexei Kossoff about the recently announced budget deal between Governor Gavin Newsom and legislative leaders. Alexei, we've been talking about the state budget, but let's not forget there was another major decision by the California Supreme Court late last week that will keep a major anti-tax measure off the ballot this November. Could you give us a little recap or summary? What was this measure seeking to do?
So this was a measure that, you know, in a broad sense, aimed to make it harder to raise taxes in California, both at the statewide and the local level. There were a lot of components to it, but, you know, some of the major ones included that, for example, the legislature would have to put any new or proposed tax increase to the voters of California. They couldn't just do it themselves. And, you know, that would really change the powers of the legislature, you know, which for decades now have allowed them to raise taxes.
And who exactly was supporting the measure and why?
So this is part of a, you know, broader push over, you know, many, many years by the business community and sort of taxpayer advocacy groups that feel like, you know, past reforms they've put in place to try and, you know, provide protections from tax increases have been, you know, basically undermined by court decisions and other things that the legislature has done. So, you know, the California Business Roundtable, which is one of the major kind of business groups in the state, was one of the main proponents. And then also the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, which was behind Proposition 13, one of the sort of most famous initiatives in California history, which limited property tax increases. You know, so these are people that have been working on these issues for a long time and feel like their work as California has gotten more liberal has kind of been undermined and, you know, basically clawed back.
And tell us who was opposing the bill. What were they arguing?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, there was Governor Gavin Newsom, legislative leaders. I mean, there was a whole push by, you know, organized labor basically to try and get this thrown off the ballot. Everybody was gearing up for a huge, very expensive fight in the November election. I mean, one of the consequences potentially of this ballot initiative was that it would have been retroactive for the past couple years, and it could have thrown a lot of local government budgets into chaos because they had passed, you know, new taxes in that time that didn't meet these higher requirements that would, you know, now exist. So, you know, there was a lot of anxiety over that, a lot of anxiety about raising new revenue in the future. And so they sued at the state Supreme Court to try and get this thing tossed off the ballot.
And it sounds like the court obviously agreed with them. Was that part of their logic that this would just alter the basic plan of government?
A little bit, but you know, it actually gets down to this sort of technical and sort of controversial, perhaps, opinion that they made that the, you know, we have this initiative process, right, that allows us to change laws or change the Constitution of California, but they were arguing that this would fundamentally change the structure of government in California in a way that's not actually allowed through the initiative process. And they said, essentially, if you want to do something as, you know, as sweeping as this initiative to change the powers of the government, you need to go and have a constitutional convention. You need to, like, you know, go back to the fundamental drawing board.
That would be a big deal.
It would be a big deal and something that's not going to happen anytime soon. So, yeah, by a unanimous decision and kind of a surprising one because the Supreme Court does not often throw ballots off of the initiative once they've qualified.
Well, it's been a big week in state government. Alexei, thanks as always for joining us to help break things down.
Thank you so much.
Alexei Kossoff is the Capital reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters. Up next, 2 years ago, a new affordable housing community opened in Sacramento, offering a welcoming home for LGBTQ plus seniors. We'll learn more about Lavender Courtyard. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.